Welcome to the Chicago Camps Podcast, brought to you in partnership with Simplecast. Publish your podcasts the easy way at simplecast.fm. Today, we're speaking with Christian Manzella, a speaker mentor for Speaker Camp Seattle on February 28th. Christian is the VP of UX at Moz, an SEO software company in Seattle, and also the founder of Giant, which holds multiple events throughout the year. Hey, Christian.
Hey, how you doing, Ross?
Good, thanks. It's great to have you as one of our mentors for Speaker Camp in Seattle. And frankly, it's great to have you as our host for Speaker Camp Seattle with your company, Moz. We really, really appreciate that.
Oh, we're excited about the opportunity, so thank you.
You bet. Seattle in the winter, I'm guessing it's going to be lots of fun, right?
Let's hope we get it during one of the sun breaks.
Don't you guys get a limited number of those per year?
I think so, but I don't think we've hit the limit quite yet. I think we've got one left and we're saving it for that weekend.
That's great. You guys are the best and definitely makes me excited that you are hosts if you could save us that sunshine. But hey, enough of our silly little banter. How did you get started in public speaking?
I think there were two parts to it. The big part was really just being in leadership roles, working at medium-sized, large-sized companies. I found myself in really what were conference-level audiences of people giving presentations. And then beyond that, going back to, I think it was 2010, I was at a Midwest UX conference, and I was introduced to the people who were organizing it, which led to meeting several of the speakers. And it wasn't like a, hey, I can do this sort of thing, but it was more like a, wow, this seems like a lot of fun. There's so much energy involved in this. And it's not just that people are up there as talking heads. They're actually relaying information about things that they've discovered, things that they've learned. And that was really intriguing to me.
That's really cool. I think for me, it's interesting that you said that it looks like it's a lot of fun and stuff. And I think once you get started, you realize that it's a lot of work.
Oh, a tremendous amount of work. I mean, and it's still fun as long as you're channeling it and looking at it right, but it really is a lot of work. There's a lot of work in the presentation development. There's a lot of work in curating your own content. And then, of course, there's a lot of work in actually building up and getting ready for what your presentation is going to be.
I think one of my favorite references is it's an awful lot like being Dave Grohl. And what I mean by that is he's a drummer, so he's got all four limbs moving at once. And then on top of it, this guy can sing, which means he's got to remember lyrics, stay on pitch. That's amazing to me. And when I look at somebody like Jared Spool or, you know, even like a Dan Willis, gosh, or Steve Portigal or so many other people, Karen McGrain, you know, Christina Halverson, some really, truly great presenters, I always get that vision of them playing drums and singing and doing all of that stuff at once. And it's really kind of awe-inspiring.
Yeah, great reference with Dave Grohl, considering that we're taking it to Seattle. And then thinking of Jared Spool as the Dave Grohl of UX presenting is just kind of a really interesting mental image.
Somebody should Photoshop that and overhear it on Twitter. So, hey, what was the first conference that you spoke at?
Funny enough, because I got such a soft spot in my heart for the folks that run Midwest UX, and it's I kept talking to those guys over the years. That ended up being the first conference that I spoke at. I went there and I did a presentation not too long ago in the grand scheme of things on really the development of leadership as a designer, going from being a designer and into a manager.
Oh, outstanding. How did that go? The first one, that is.
I'd say that it went better than I thought it would go as far as it being a conference presentation. But I ended up doing a lot of meta talking in my presentation, criticizing myself during the course of me talking, and catching myself doing it and then correcting myself to the audience. And it was a really bad habit to get into and something that I really, was pretty hard on myself afterwards for it. But since I've gotten better about doing that particular correction.
I was going to say cringeworthy, but I realized that you were talking about yourself and I didn't want you to feel hurt.
No, it was definitely cringeworthy. I mean, and I do recognize how bad it was. I mean, it was one of those things where the first time I did it, I was like, wow, I can't believe I just did that. And then I did it a second time and went, what is wrong with me? I'm thinking in my head. And by the third time, I was practically screaming at myself in my head while I'm presenting. And the third time, I think, was about the last time I did it, because I finally got through to my presenter self that I needed to quit it.
It's like that Napoleon Dynamite in your head. God!
Exactly.
Idiot! And I know it. I've been there. I mean, these are things that are really hard to kind of break yourself of, especially when you're like, oh, I should be performing this better. Stop saying these dumb things. And then out of your mouth comes, I need to stop saying these dumb things. What? That type of stuff happens, and it's challenging. And I think it's interesting that you said that. I think people who are presenting are hyper aware of their own mistakes, which is both good and bad, because then inevitably somebody will provide some feedback that makes you relive the pain of what you're already subjecting yourself to. I've given presentations that people have thought were decent, and I thought they were absolute crap, but I've never, stood up there and given a bad one and not been super, super aware of it, for sure. And I'm not saying that yours was bad. I'm sure you were better than you thought. So, hey, you're one of the producers of the Giant events. You've got the Giant Conference, the Tiny Giant events that travel around and stuff. As you are a producer of that, what are some of the qualities that you look for when you're curating speakers for your events?
It's actually a tough question, because with Giant, what we've tried to do is we've tried to hit such a broad arena of speakers. I mean, getting different types of speakers who can speak to different topics is huge. And we're not necessarily always looking for the seasoned speakers that have been doing this for 10 years. There's obviously a significant component to that in Giant, just because of the nature of what we're trying to do as far as getting more venues for those kind of existing messages to get out there. But we're also looking for people that are probably, I wouldn't necessarily say beginner speakers, but kind of right at the maybe mid-range of their speaking career, maybe people who have spoken for a year at local meetups and stuff like that. A big part of the Tiny Giant was to kind of get that out to local communities and collect more speakers that had less experience speaking, and then couple them with some of the more experienced speakers. We definitely look for speakers who are confident, speakers who can communicate an idea to as broad an audience as possible, without the message getting lost to the people that aren't necessarily completely keyed into the topic. Although we do expect that the bulk of our audience is going to be UX or design field related.
Yeah, and I get that, because I think, we have a lot in common with Chicago Camps and Giant, in that I think we counted and we have something like 42 speaking slots this year at our various camps that we're doing. And we look at that and we see abstracts when they come in, or proposals, and we'll work with people from that point. We're definitely interested in having a diverse crowd, and definitely interested in helping new people. We will frequently help them write their proposals if we can see the idea in there, knowing that exercise helps them kind of sand off the corners of their idea and get that focus there. And that's not to say, like, when I've done that, that's not to say, like, I feel like I'm doing any heavy lifting. I feel like I'm really more nudging people into something. That the work of generating that hard idea, that's definitely on everyone else. We look at it as, for our $60 events that include lunch, nobody's going to get too pissed off if one of the talks is not the best one that they've ever seen. Although I've seen the feedback, and sometimes that happens. and that's okay too. I mean, but we're here to kind of help do that. And heck, that's the reason why we do so many different things, is to try to bring that about. So, I think I agree with everything that you said there, and it's something to be said about doing that blend of experienced speakers with those who maybe don't have as much. There's something to be said about putting them even in the green room and letting them talk, and you can kind of see, I don't know, the osmosis happening of the good things kind of heading over to the less seasoned folks.
Oh, absolutely. And as an organizer, you don't truly appreciate how important that green room, you know, that quiet space in the background is important for both the event and for the speakers. Giant Conference last year had four venues, and I believe one of the four venues didn't really have a green room. And it honestly, I think, hurt the speakers that spoke in that venue. And we actually ended up shifting to a different venue for that one so that we would have that space for speakers.
Yeah, I like to hide. I know who I am and how I can be perceived as a bit of an extrovert at times. But the reality is, especially before presenting, I like to sit and kind of hide. I like to pay attention from the farthest spot in the back of the room, tucked down if I can, or even up front, ducked down so people can't identify me by my bald spot or whatever it is. So I know that Moz is sending a few folks, and I'm curious, what do you hope that attendees are going to get from Speaker Camp?
Well, one of the things that's really important to me is that, you know, people that work with me and people that work around me, that they take advantage of speaking and publishing opportunities whenever they can. I mean, it's kind of a very accessible format to extending who you are personally, but also, you know, what kind of reach and exposure you get to other design ideas within the community. So what I'm hoping for the folks that I know that are going, and really anybody that's going to Speaker Camp, is that they're getting, you know, that kind of confidence boost to go out there and take the content that they're passionate about, because passion is such an important attribute to speaking about a topic, that they take that content they're passionate about and can kind of roll out a presentation that they can work with, and that they get tips and tricks about what to do when they're talking in front of the audience and they have that momentary lapse and they grab the bottle of water and really walk away going, okay, I may not still be Russ Unger and can go up there and just completely command an audience.
Wait. I thought you were talking about me when you were talking about the bottle of water and grabbing it when you lose your thought. I thought you were talking about me then. I was about to interrupt you then and just like, wow, you have seen me present.
But the point is that they may not go up there and be the world-class speaker right away, but I'm hoping that Speaker Camps gives the folks in Seattle the confidence that they're looking for to go up there and try it and have the recognition that by doing it multiple times, that's what's going to get them to the place of being a good speaker, if that's what they're looking to do.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I think that's part of, like, one of the big things that I really like that we do is, even though I have to pack up a bunch of cameras and tripods in my little carry-on suitcase, we record those sessions. We record 5-minute presentations, and then we record the critique that happens afterwards, and I chop those up and send them back to folks. It's very difficult to understand how valuable that is until you've seen yourself present on video, and then you have that, oh, that's my voice. Oh, that's the hand motion I do all the time. Oh my. It takes seeing that and hearing that, A, for you to adjust to your voice, which is, it's very difficult to do. B, it's seeing how you present will make you more self-aware. And I like that we can offer them the opportunity to do that in many cases before they've ever stood on stage the first time, and they can kind of eradicate a few things.
Yeah, it's great.
And then I think finally, why are you hoping that other people will start doing more presenting at conferences? Not just, you know, the Moz people or even the Speaker Camp folks, but just in general.
Well, just in general, I mean, and this is, you know, readily apparent to me as a conference organizer, there's really kind of two big reasons. One is I would really just love to see more people out there involved in speaking. You know, I kind of mentioned before, a big reason why I got into speaking was this idea that there was people out there who were speaking not just on topics that they researched in an encyclopedia, but things that they were passionate about, things that they took a part in. And the more often that we can get more different types of people out there in the community talking about things that they're passionate about, the greater diversity, not just of people, but also of thought that we get in the community. The second thing is really that I think it's important for people, particularly in UX-related fields, but actually, no, really, I'm just going to back away from that, because in any field, it's important for people to understand how to speak to an audience in addition to just kind of one-on-one and small group communication, because there's a change dynamic when you're speaking to an audience where you might have an understanding of maybe 75% of the audience based on a typical persona of the conference or whatever the event is that you're speaking at. But there's going to be a quarter of the audience that you're kind of not going to get through to. And you need to understand that when you're speaking. And so it's a skill that you learn as far as how you're presenting to whom and what you're able to take away from it.
Yeah, I think there was, I think it was Jim Kudal who said something like, if you're interviewing two designers, hire the one who can write, who can write the best. And I think I've changed that in my mind to be who can write and also present. There's a big part of what we do that you've got to be able to do that. And, you know, like Montero says, you've got to sell, you know, and a lot of that is just knowing how to put those things out there and how to formulate that dialogue and, you know, how these things are going to be structured and then getting up there and doing it and at least having a plan. Even though it'll go to heck as soon as you start opening your mouth, you know, it makes a lot of sense, I think. And I'm reminded of that diagram of how you planned it versus how it went. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I have seen something along those lines, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's all of those, like the success one that looks like this. It's a straight line. What really happened? All the squiggles, all that type of stuff. But I think we're sharing the same brain here, which is pretty awesome. And it's great to see that, I don't know, we're looking for opportunities to kind of help people not only get on stage, but to increase the diversity of thinking and speakers that we have out there. So that's fantastic. And hey, I want to thank you one more time for being one of our mentors. I think it's going to be super helpful to have you sitting in and helping people, you know, get better at this craft. And I think it's also fantastic that Moz is one of our sponsors and providing space for us to do this. So thank you. Thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank you.
You bet. Take care.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Camps podcast, brought to you in partnership with Simplecast. Publish your podcasts the easy way at simplecast.fm. And learn more about SpeakerCamp and other Chicago Camps events on our website at chicagocamps.org.